book of Ephesians chapter 3. Now, many of you may know or not know that Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 is one of my favorite verses. It talks about the glory of God. And as we think about this time that we gather here today, we think about one thing that we can celebrate. Yeah, we celebrate being in a new building. We can celebrate baptism. We can celebrate communion. And what we want to always do is never forget that in everything, to God be the glory. You know, that should be the motto of the Christian life. To God be the glory. In all things that we do, everything that we say, it should all be to the glory of God. To God be the glory for the great things he has done in our lives. And as we think about this journey of faith and where we started back in our living room, singing some songs and the TV screen, and we just singing songs and praising God. And God took us from our living room to the school, and then from the school to here. But in all that, we've seen the most important thing is that God was glorified, right? And that lives have been changed and been transformed through our being here and glorifying God together. So today, as we celebrate our first time here, I wanted just for us just to focus on God and to give him glory. You know, to God be the glory for the great things he has done. To God be the glory. And Paul talks about that in the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians tells us who we are in Christ. And then it tells us, based on who we are, how we are to live now that we know who we are in Christ. And the whole thing can be summed up, the whole Bible can be summed up in those words, to God be the glory. God is the hero of the Bible. God is the hero of my story. It should be the hero of your story. To God be the glory for the great things he has done. So when you find the book of Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, please stand with me as we honor the reading of God's word. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. 21. Two verses, but very powerful. Everyone has it? Here we go. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. It says, "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus, throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Let us pray. Father, we thank you for all you've done in our lives and all that you have done today. Lord, continue to be present in our lives as we will continually give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. When we think about the glory of God, many of us might say, well, what is the glory of God? When we say to God be the glory, what does that mean when we say to God be the glory? In the book of Exodus, Moses was walking with God, and Moses asked God something in the book of Exodus. He said to God, "God, show me your glory." He said, "God, I'm walking with you, but I want to see your glory." And God granted Moses that request. In the book of Exodus, God told Moses, "I'm going to show you my glory, but I'm not going to show you all of me, who I am, because you couldn't handle it. You would die." So he put Moses beside a rock, and he said, "I'm going to hide you here. I'm going to pass by you and let you see my glory." And the glory of God shone, and it says, and it passed by Moses, and it says that, you know, the angels cried out, "Holy, holy is the Lord." And it says that as Moses was walking with God, that he came down from the mountain, and he came to the people of God. And it says that when they saw Moses, his face was shining, and the people were afraid. And Moses didn't know why they were afraid of him, but it says that he had been in the presence of God. So that God's glory began to rub off on Moses, and he was beginning to shine in the presence of God. And I just believe that when we are in the presence of God, he changes us. Amen? That God's glory changes us from the inside out. So we begin to reflect the glory of God. So if we wanted a theological definition of God's glory, it would be the created brightness that surrounds God's revelation of himself. If God's glory was to come into this place, we all couldn't stand it. Be too bright. It's like it would be like staring at the sun directly. You can't do that. It would affect your eyes. It says God's glory is just more powerful than the sun, his radiant glory. Also, in another sense, the term glory would mean it refers to God's honor. God be glorified, or God be honored in this place or in my life. Now, we don't find ourselves surrounded by visible light, or there is brightness, a splendor or beauty about the manner of life of a person. You might not see his light shining above you, but you and I can tell when someone has been in the presence of God, can you? It shows up in their character, how they come into a room. It seems like the room lights up, doesn't it? When a person has been walking with God and they come into his presence, you know it. Because there's peace, there's joy, there's love. And God is often evident to those who are around such a person. When God's evident in your life, other people will know it. So when we think about God's glory, we think about his brightness, think about his honor, but also we think about his holiness. God is holy. God is separate from you and I. He is separate from any other person. He is holy. His holiness. John Piper says that God's glory is the radiance of his holiness, the radiance of his manifold, infinitely worthy and valuable perfections. God is perfect. God is holy. There's no blemish in God. There's no sin in God. There's no character default in God. God is holy. And he must be seen as holy. He must be reverenced as holy in our lives. And sometimes, even when we come into this place, when we think about it, when we come into this place, we're coming into the presence of God, as it were to be. And we're to come in a way that we're going to honor God as being holy, as being perfect, as being the most holiest thing we ever come in contact with. But God is so holy, but so loving, that he allows you and I to be in his presence. Now, we call that grace. The grace of God allows you to be into his presence. Because you and I both know that he is worthy, and we know that we are unworthy. Because Paul says, all of us have sinned and fallen short of what? The glory of God. And the fact that we know that, and God knows it about you and I, he still says that he wants us to be into his presence. And God says, I will reveal my glory to those who come to me and seek me. So that's good news. And God says also in our lives that God will reveal his glory to those who obey him and want to do his will. God will reveal his glory. And one of my prayers as your pastor is that when people come into this place, they will not help be able to say glory to God. I believe that even an atheist should be to see our life and give glory to God by the way you live. And say, man, there's something about you that makes me want to give glory to God, and I don't even believe in him. And that's the power that God has in our lives. And that is what the Apostle Paul wanted to encourage and teach the church of Ephesus about the glory of God. So we're going to talk about three things that you see in your sermon outline. We're going to talk about God's glory and the primary persons and the purpose of God's glory. We're going to talk about the purpose of the Christian life is the glory of God. The purpose of the church is the glory of God. And the purpose of Jesus Christ is the glory of God. Now, many people say, what's the purpose of a Christian? We might say, well, to do this or to pray, do that. All that is great. But the primary purpose of the Christian is the glory of God. And the question I need to ask myself, and you should ask yourself, am I living for the glory of God? Am I living for the glory of God? When people see my life, do they look at my life and say, man, I see God's imprint on that person's life? Because that's why God left you here. God left you and I here to bring him glory. To bring him glory. The Bible says that all things were created for him. It says through him and to him and through him. To him be the glory. That the whole creation was created for God's glory. You were created to bring him glory. And when we think about it, sin is really for the human is not to give God glory. It is sin not to give God the glory that he richly deserves. So we want to give God's glory, and we're going to see what it looks like when we say the primary purpose of the Christian is the glory of God. Paul says that. He says, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think. He's talking about the Christian. That God is able to do things in your life that you can't even ask or think, that you can even comprehend that God can do it in your life. He really can. And when you believe that, and when you live that way, you begin to see God do things in your life that you could never, ever imagine. And you should live and want to live that way and say, man, I want God to do something that people will only be able to describe it to him. And that's what it comes down to. In my life and in your life. When we think about the glory of God, I think about it in my own life. I would have never imagined that one day we'll be standing here in this place praising God from my living room to here. That's the glory of God. Now you say, well, how did that happen? I can tell you how it happened. It happened on November 14th, 2010. That's when it happened. He said, well, how did that happen? Well, that's the day we closed on our house. Right, babe? November 10th, 2010. That's when we closed on our house. Now, I can tell you what happened. They gave us the key to the house. Millinette was up there by herself, and we walked in the door, and we did something. We stood in the middle of that room, and we said, man, to God be the glory. And then we said, let's pray. And I remember Millinette prayed this prayer. God, use this house for your glory. We just use it for your glory. You bless us with this house. We thank God for it, but use it for your glory. And I said, amen. And that was it. And then on July 22nd, 2012, we moved our furniture out of the living room and had church. People came over. That's the glory of God, right? We never thought that. We never asked God to start. We just said, God, use this house for your glory. And he said, I heard that. I'm going to use it and make you move your furniture out, have people come in and sing praises to me in your house. Because we said, to God be the glory. Now, God, when he hears people to say that and they really mean that, God said, okay, I heard that, and I'm going to see whether you really believe, are you really truly saying, to God be the glory, use this house for your glory. I dare you to really say, God, use my life, use my house, use my car for your glory. Be careful. Because, okay, I heard you, I'm going to do that. And unfortunately, sometimes I believe many of us as Christians do not see what God wants to do in our life because we really don't want God, we really don't mean to God be the glory. And so we went from there to here. And I want you to understand, and don't get it twisted, it is not about me and Lynette. We said, to God be the glory. Not about Pastor Phelan, not about Sister Phelan. It's about to God be the glory for the great things he has done. And so when we think about that, how can two people pray November 10th, 14th, 2010, and then people's lives get changed? You are a beneficiary of that prayer. You are. And the question to ask yourself, who is a beneficiary of your prayers? Who has been blessed because you prayed something and they benefit because you prayed? God always wants to bless his people through his people. So when we think about God getting glory through the Christian, what does it look like? God's glory is manifested in the Christian life through discipleship. Through discipleship. We're big on discipleship here. Discipleship simply means, as I mentioned, to follow Jesus Christ. It's not just to believe on him. That's it. Yeah, I believe he exists. You know, even, James says even the devil believes in God. The devil is not an atheist. He believes in God. He said even demons believe in God and tremble. But the difference between the devil and demons is the fact that they oppose everything God wants to do. Discipleship is when we say, I want to follow Jesus Christ. And wherever he takes me, whatever he tells me to do, I'm going to do it. That's what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. We want to learn about Jesus. And we want to follow him. We want to give him the authority in our lives. And to ask yourself this question, is God getting glory through my life through discipleship? Am I following Jesus Christ? Am I under his authority? Am I under his teaching? Am I under his leadership? Am I truly following Jesus Christ? Because when you follow Jesus Christ, he may take you places you don't want to go. He may require you things that you don't want to give up. He may make you do something that you don't want to do. But when you say, God, I am following you, I am your disciple, then you say, God, not my will, but thy will be done. That's how we glorify God, through discipleship. And that's what it looks like in our lives. People should look at us and see that we're following Jesus Christ. When we exhibit conduct pleasing to him, when we reflect his character, he delights in us and finds us beautiful in his sight. God wants to delight in his people. God wants to show you off. You know how we as parents sometimes we want to brag on our kids? Look what they did. Oh, okay, let me tell you what he's done. Let me tell you what she's done, what they accomplished. The question is, can God brag on you? Can God say, can God do to you what he did to Job? He bragged about Job to the devil. Now, some of you are saying, don't brag on me like that, God. But the story of Job was this. God says, have you considered my servant Job? There's none like him in all the earth. And the devil said, oh, he's only praising you because you have blessed him. And God says, that's not true. Go ahead. Do what you need to do. But just don't kill it. Even in the situation that Job went through, he still gave God glory. He said, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's glory right there. I'm going to give God glory. I lost my money, I lost my children, I lost my health, but to God be the glory for the great things he has done. Because Job understood, and we understand, that God's glory is not dependent upon my circumstances. It's dependent upon that we have a God who overcomes and supersedes my circumstances. We have a God that even though the water may be above your head, we have a God who walks on water. And that's good news. That is good news. So discipleship is how we bring God glory in our lives. And we should always think about that. Tony Evans says this. He says, you are to reflect him and his ways through your thoughts. You know you give God glory through your thoughts? Choices and actions in such a way that people look at you and can't help but give God glory. Not only that, God's glory is manifested in our prayers. In our prayers. Paul says, now to him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all, you can what? Ask or think. God's glory is manifested in our prayers. How big are your prayers? The way in which you pray determines whether you have a big God and a small you, or you have a big you and a small God. See, many of us pray safe prayers. But if it don't work out, I got this to fall back on. See, God wants us to trust him and to say, God, I want you to get the glory out of my life. There's some things God's going to say, I want you to do. And sometimes God, no, someone says, you should pray and attempt stuff that only God can do. And when God does it, he gets the glory for it. You should attempt something and say, well, okay, of course I can do that. God gives him glory for that. It's when God does something through you that you knew that only if God didn't do it, it wasn't going to get done. And that's what we're talking about, and that's what my goal as your pastor is, that we can look back, and when people think about our church, they'll be able to say, man, glory to God. How did God do that for those people in that living room? Now they're over here. What happened? To God be the glory for the great things he has done. It's about the glory of God. And we never want to rob God of his glory, but we need to pray prayers and say, God, do this through me. Do this for your glory. You know, I believe God is waiting on us to believe him for great things. It's not that God can't do great things. We don't ask him to do great things. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. See, I've told you, and I've said it before, and I believe this, and I want to apologize. I want to be great. I'm not trying to be prideful. I want to be great. I want people to look at me and say, man, that's a great pastor there. That's a great father. That's a great husband. That's a great man. See, all my kids one day, when I'm in my casket and I'm laying there, all my kids come up and say, man, my dad was great. He strived to be great. He attempted great things for Jesus. He wasn't afraid. He gave it all. My mom and dad was great. That's what it's about. But if you want to be great, you can't play it safe. You got to step out in faith and trust God. That's what we're trying to do as a church. We want to be a great church. You want to be a great church here? You know what it's going to take? Some faith, some sacrifice, to attempt great things for Jesus. And you say, how did you guys do what you did? To God be the glory. Do you know why the children of Israel wandered in the desert for 40 years? Do you know? Their vision. God told Moses to go. I've given you the promised land. Just take it. Moses said, oh man, this is great. He called the men, 12 men, said, hey, now I want y'all to go out there, spy it out. We're going to do our reconnaissance. We're going to go take it. Come on, give me a report. How many came, went out? 12. And the Bible says 10 came back with a negative report. Only two had a positive. Now the 10 said that their vision was wrong. And you know why their vision was wrong? Because they said to Moses, when we saw those big old dudes, my pastor fell in language, we saw them big dudes, we look like midgets to them. He said, they said, we look like grasshoppers in their sight. And Joshua and Caleb said, hey, Moses, man, we can do this. We got this. Because their vision was correct. They saw a big God and a small people. They said, God got our back. We got this. And think about your life. When you think about your life, think about this church. What do you see? Do you see only what you can do? Or do you see what God can do? Now, if you only do what you can do, you get the glory. But if you attempt what only God can do, he gets the glory. So I want us to attempt what only God can do. And we want people to say, when they walk in here, to God be the glory. So your prayers. What are you praying? Our prayers can limit the glory of God. Also, God's glory is manifested in his power working through us. That's what it says in Ephesians. It says God is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think. Then it says, according to the power at work within us. God's glory is manifested in his power working in us. Do you know God wants to work in you? You know, before God ever does anything through you, he does something to you. Before God would ever tell you to do anything for him, he would get to do something in you and to you. God is working in me. God is working in you. I may not be everything I should be, but thank God I'm not what I used to be because God is working in me and on me. I'm under construction. What about you? I'm a WIP, a work in progress, but I'm a VIP. I'm a victory in progress too. Because God wants to accomplish things in our life and he wants you and I to be victorious. We're to trust God. So God's glory is manifested in his power working in us. As God worked through Jesus Christ, he wants to work through you to accomplish great things for his name. So at the end of your life, we stand before God. You'll be to say, well done, that good and faithful servant. I want to tell you what the pastor said, and I want to repeat that. It's my job as your pastor to make, when you meet Jesus Christ, the best day of your life. We say, well, what does that mean? That when you stand before God, you want God to say this right here about you. He's not going to ask you, hey, how much money do you have? How much that 401k? How big was your house again? He's not going to ask you that. He's going to say, well done, that good and faithful servant. And that means that when you have done, you've used your time, your talent, and your treasure, everything he gave you for his glory. Jesus lived for the glory of God. He lived for the glory of God. The question for you and I, do we live for the glory of God, or do we live for the praise and glory of other people? Many of us will work ourselves to the bone for the glory of other people. We need to live for the glory of God. So God's glory is manifested in discipleship and prayer and his power working through us. That's the Christian's primary purpose. Now let's look at the church. The primary purpose of the church is the glory of God. What does it look like when God's glory is manifested in the church? Number one, God's glory is manifested in the praise and adoration of his son, Jesus Christ. Of the praise and adoration of his son, Jesus Christ. When you come into this place, I want you to know the most important person in this place is Jesus Christ. He is the star of the show. He's the main attraction. He's it. It is about him and only him. Not about me, not about you. It is about him. And we have to be careful whether it's pastors or singers or whoever that we don't want to steal God's glory and make it about us. It is always about Jesus Christ. And we come to adore and to praise him and to glorify him. To God be the glory in this place. So when we come into this place, people should know, they should leave here knowing who we were singing about. They should say, man, they were singing about that Jesus person. I didn't even find out who he is. Because they kept saying he's a great God and Jesus, 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 Jesus. It's about him. We should be praising God, and the church is to give God the praise and adoration through his son, Jesus Christ. And that's why it's so important for us to never ever bow the knee and say, Jesus Christ is not Lord. He is Lord. As the Apostle Paul says, there's no one under heaven by which men must be saved. There is no other Savior but Jesus Christ. There's no other way to heaven except through Jesus Christ. There's no other way to be forgiven, to have your sins forgiven, except through Jesus Christ. Now, that's not popular, but it's true. I'm not trying to be a politician. I'm trying to be a preacher. It's only through Jesus Christ. And we're to give him glory in this place, in our lives. We praise and adore him. Not only that, God's glory is manifested in the church through the proclamation of his word. Through the proclamation of his word. Not entertainment, but through the proclamation of his word. And so many times, we have so much stuff going on in the church, and there is no preaching going on. A lot of entertainment, a lot of dancing, nothing wrong with that. There's a place for that. But we want to come, and we want to hear the word of God. We want to proclaim God's word to God's people. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We want to come and hear God's word proclaimed. That's what we should do. And unfortunately, sometimes it doesn't happen. We start telling stories, telling jokes. We want to open the Bible up and say, thus saith the Lord. Now, the preaching of God's word is not popular. Paul says that there will come a time where men would not what? Endure sound doctrine. There will come a time that people say, I don't want to hear that. I'm tired of coming to that church, hearing about Jesus, hearing him preach from the Bible. Tell me something else. I don't want to hear about this Bible. Listen, I have nothing else for you. This is all I got. I don't have no story. I have 66 books. That's all I have for you. And so when I stand up here, I'm going to open the book and preach what thus saith the Lord. Because that's the best thing that I can give you. When I say, I had this shirt say, I love my church, the way I can love you is preach you the word of God. In season, out of season, when you want to hear it, when you don't want to hear it, I need to tell it to you and say, here it is. Here's what God says about you and I. And we must govern ourselves accordingly. That's what God's word says. We want to preach his word. We want to proclaim his word. And that's one of the most important jobs that I can do as your pastor is stand before you and preach the word of God to you. That's what God's called me to do, to proclaim his word to you. That's my primary job, is to proclaim God's word to you so that you may be transformed and equipped to do God's work. To God be the glory. 1 Corinthians 14:24 talks about that. The Corinthian church was a mess. I mean, really were. Always something going on. I mean, they had a lot of activity in the church. They could sing, shout with the best of them. I mean, they were some tongue-talking people. But Paul would say, you guys are a mess. There's no love. Someone comes in, they don't understand what's going on. And Paul says, I'd rather speak five words in English to the whole bunch of words no one knows. He says, what does if a guy comes in and hear you talking something that they don't understand? They're going to think you're crazy and drinking too much wine. He said, but if they come and clearly hear the word of God, he says they will fall down upon their knees and say, truly, God was in this place. That's what we want, right? We want people to hear the word of God and say, God was here in this place. God spoke to me through his word. Thirdly, God's glory is manifested in the love of his disciples toward one another. God's glory is manifested in the love of his disciples toward one another. John 13:35 says, by this, all men will know you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Do you know that we bring God glory when we love one another? Do you understand? God is glorified when people walk in, when people see us truly, genuinely loving each other, warts and all. Because we're imperfect. And God talks about that, you know, we are to love each other. We are to serve each other. We are to pray for one another. We are to forgive one another. We are to bear each other's burdens. And when we do those things, God's glorified, saying, man, here are people who genuinely love each other, even though they're imperfect. They truly love each other. God's glorified through that. And unfortunately, sometimes the church is not known for love. We're known for gossip, backbiting, deceit, unforgiveness. We should be known as a church that truly loves one another. And I believe that when people see that, they will be drawn to God. Because they will say, here are people loving each other truly. How can that be? We first love him because he loved us. And how can we not love our brothers and sisters who we can see and say we love God who we've never seen? The Apostle John says that person is a liar. God's glory is manifest in the love of his disciples toward one another. How is your love? How is it toward one another? Always easy to love people that love you back, isn't it? Just love that. I love her, man. Woo, man. Tight. But what about that person with a bad attitude? And yes, we have some Christians with bad attitude. They are. I mean, they're imperfect. We all growing in other areas of our lives. That's okay. We all got some things in our lives that need to be worked on. But this bad attitude, impatient. My wife said, you too impatient. I'm working on that. I just pray for me. I'm working on that. But let's show love to one another, right? That's important. Because Christ loves us. He knows everything about us. Our thoughts, our actions, our motivations. And he still loves us. We want God to be glorified in our lives, in this church, because we praise and adore Jesus Christ, we proclaim his word, and we love one another. So look at the primary purpose of Jesus Christ. It's the glory of God. Jesus Christ gave God glory perfectly. More than any other human being. He was sinless. He gave God glory. Jesus Christ gave God glory, and it was manifested, point one, in the crucifixion. In the crucifixion. We talk about the miracles, the walking on water. Those things are great. But the ultimate way that Jesus Christ gave God glory was in the crucifixion. He talks about why he came, his purpose. Jesus knew his purpose. Even when people tried to dissuade him from his purpose, he knew it. When he talked about his coming death and crucifixion, he said in John 12:27, now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose, I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Here is Jesus going to go through an excruciating death. And he says, should I beg God to save me from this? Should I say, God, don't let this happen to me? He says, no. That's why I came. And he said, this is my purpose. And he says, God, if you're going to take me going through some pain, be glorified in my life. Now, that's when you are obsessed with the glory of God. Could you really say, man, God, if it takes me suffering through a sickness to bring you glory, God, don't save me from that. Let it happen because I want to glorify you. Do you know that you can glorify God in sickness? Many of us want to say that when we get healed, to God be the glory. That's great. But there are many Christians who will not be healed on this side of heaven. And they can still give God glory. They may have pain in their bodies, battling cancer. To God be the glory. Jesus said, I'm not telling God to save me from the crucifixion. I'm going to go to the crucifixion saying, God, I'm going to glorify you in this. And it says that the way Jesus died, the centurion said, truly, this was the Son of God. I've never seen a man die like that. He died praying for his enemies. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He says, I've never seen a man die like that. Most men are begging for their lives. They're bargaining with God. He's praying for the people who put him up there. What about you? Do you glorify God in suffering? Or do you complain in suffering? We have to go through things. See, many of us, we want the crown, but we don't want the cross. We want the glory, but we don't want the grind. We want all those things, but we don't want to go through the crucifixion. There can be no crown without a cross. The Bible says in the book of Revelation, there will be some saints who will take their crown and cast it to the feet of Jesus. Now, unfortunately, not every Christian is going to receive a crown. The crown is given to those who have suffered and who have given their life for the cause of Christ and said, those who have done the work, who have finished their work. As Paul says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished my race. I have kept the faith. Then he says, now to me they laid up a crown of righteousness. Not to me only, but to all those who loved his appearing. You got to keep the faith. Against all odds, keep the faith. So the crucifixion. But there's good news. Sunday came. And God's glorified was manifested in the resurrection. See, ought there be a resurrection, there must be a death. See, you must die to some things in your life in order to see God resurrect them and give you new life. Some of us got to die to our own, this is what I want to see happen. This is what I want. This is what I need to see happen. And God says, no, you got to die to some things. Matter of fact, the Bible says, in order to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, you must do what? You must deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. A cross, there's a death. You must die to yourself. You're what I want to see happen. This is what I want in life. This is my dream. These are my goals. You say, God, my goal is your glory. And whatever that takes me, it takes me. And that is hard for us to really say that. Because God may take you somewhere you don't want to go. God may change your plans. You comfortable? You want to kick back? Got you a nice little comfortable place? Everything's good? Money's okay. And God tells you, it's time to go. I'm uprooting you. I'm uprooting you. I want you to sell everything you got. Pack up. I'm moving you. He said, man, God wouldn't do that this day. God would not do that. That's Old Testament stuff, preacher. Come on, wake up. This is 2015. God wants me to be happy, holy, and healthy. No, God will tell you to do some things. God will tell you. Many of you can attest. Something happened on May 22nd, 2015. Some of you was there. They might know what happened. That's when I stepped off the ledge. But I didn't fall. God caught me. The only reason I can tell you that I left the Navy, people always, why did you do that? Did you get passed over? No, I just got promoted. Why would you do that? I'm not going to say, because God told me to. I have no other rhyme or reason of doing that but for the glory of God, because he told me to do it. And I made a decision a long time ago, God, your life, I gave my life to you, doing it what you want, and I'm going to trust you. He said, I'll take that. But I'm going to come back and remind you when you said that. So when you're comfortable, if that's going good, I'm going to say, hey, remember when you told me that 70? I need you to do this now. But God, no, either you belong to me or you don't. And if you belong to me, I have a right to tell you what to do, when to do it, and how to do it. So I stepped off the ledge, not knowing. Now God knows I got a wife and 3 kids. He knows that. He gave them to me. Satan and God, none of you don't know. But God says, I'm going to take this time, I'm going to take you, I'm going to show people through you to God be glory. Why would you do something like that? To God be the glory. So I'm going to use you as an example and say, I want to see what you're going to do and see, I'm going to point to people and say, to God be the glory. The great things he has done. So when I tell you you got to do something, I'm never going to tell you anything to do that I haven't done. You'll never hear me as your pastor tell you to do something that I haven't done. And you'll never have me ask you to do something that I myself haven't done. See, I used to be afraid to tell people, follow me as I follow Christ. And God told me, if you want to pastor people, you got to live your life and be able to say that to people. Follow me as I follow Christ. Now, if I stop following Christ, don't follow me. I'll best off then. You keep following Jesus. Hey, man, the pastor, he's tripping right now. I'm going to keep following Jesus. He went right, man. I'm going, hey, man, I'm going this way. We're going to pray for him, make a deep get back right because we over here. You shouldn't do that. You shouldn't follow a pastor not following. You shouldn't do that. But you should follow a pastor that's following. You should do that. You should do that. At one point I say to you in my life, I'm living my life in such a way that you can help us say, man, he's not perfect, but man, he's trying to follow God the best he can. I got to get in line with that. Follow me as I follow Jesus Christ. And I guarantee you, he will put glory in your life. He'll be glorified through your life. And I'm looking forward to see what God's going to do in this next year in my life. I don't know. He said, trust me, one day at a time, and I get you to where you need to be. I don't know. I don't know what my future holds, but I know who holds the future, and that's good with me. Amen? So God's glory is manifested in the resurrection. God's glory is manifested in the ascension of Jesus Christ. He not only got up from the grave, the Bible says he ascended to heaven. Acts 1 says he went to heaven, the ascension. He went to heaven. He's now seated at the right hand of God. That means his work is complete. He's at the right hand of God through Jesus Christ. So you think about that. He's in the right hand of God. So when you think about this, what does ascension mean to you? What does it mean? It means that everything that you need is in Jesus Christ. And everything that you're going through on earth, he sits high above it. He sits high above it. So in your life, no matter what you're going through, whether it is physical ailments, financial issues, marital issues, relationship issues, God sits high above it, waiting for us to come to him. So to God be the glory for the great things he has done in our life as Christians, in this church called Beyond the Walls, and in our Savior, Jesus Christ. So what's the conclusion? What's the conclusion of all this? God alone deserves the glory. God alone deserves the glory. Live life in such a way that people have to give God glory. Live it in such a way they have to give God glory. They might not like it and say, man, To God be the glory, though. I see this person walking with Jesus. I see it. That's what God wants in our lives. So we're going to be on this journey. This journey is just beginning for us as a church family. It's just beginning. Remember this day. Remember this day. And the Bible said, despise not the days of small beginnings. And we're being to say, on June 7th, 2015, to God be the glory for the great things he has done. And if you want God's glory, it starts first of all with Jesus. It starts with Jesus. If you want to glorify Jesus Christ, I said before, it starts with Jesus Christ. You must recognize your need for him. The sin is failing to give God glory. It's failing to acknowledge that Jesus Christ did what only he could do and what we can never do, which is die for our sins. And if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ, you might say, I'm a good person. I'm not talking about you being a good person. I don't bother anybody. I'm not talking about that. I pay my taxes. I'm not talking about that. My question for you is this. Have you given your life to Jesus Christ? Did it come a time in your life when you recognized you were a sinner and you repented of your sins and you gave your life to Jesus Christ? If you haven't done that, here's what the slide says right here. It's a gift. God wants to give you a gift. It's called salvation. It's called salvation. A gift is something you can't earn, something that you can't purchase. It's just given to you. We can't earn our salvation. God gives it to us through Jesus Christ. And maybe you're here today, so I came to celebrate with them. No, we want you to know that you came, you were set up. Spiritual set up. God says, you came to give me glory. And it starts with Jesus Christ. So if you're here today, you say, I want to know that Jesus. All you got to do is reach out and receive the gift by faith. Say, God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know I'm not perfect. Everybody else knows that. But you say, I believe that Jesus Christ is your son, that he's Lord, and that he died for my sins, and he rose again from the dead. The Bible says that if we believe that Christ is Lord and believe that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. I can guarantee you one thing. Everybody in here is going to die one day. And you're going to stand before God. And you want to hear either, well done, that good and faithful servant, or you don't want to hear, depart from me, I never knew you. You lived a good life, but you never recognized that you needed me. You never accepted my gift. So let's pray.